Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Rolando.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, where we are reviewing Paranormal Activity 2 and 3 this week. And we're going to do something completely different. We are not going to give you the plot summary or our... Well, I guess we will give you our first thoughts. Then we will go to spoilers.
We're not going to give you the plot summary or our first thoughts or what we thought of the film. Please tune in next week when we have Paranormal 4 and 5.
We're just going to quietly sit here.
Where we're going to review PA 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
But no, I thought it'd be fun if we talk about 2 and 3 together, since they all kind of mix and happen well within each other. It's very like plot heavy, which I did not know. I had no idea this series was like had a huge mythology. So
that dedicated to convoluting the story as much as possible every movie you watch.
I mean, I'm assuming that as we get into the rest of the series, it's going to only become more convoluted. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. But
probably, and I'm not going to be like, I'm finally getting through all the ones that I have seen. I've realized that I've seen all these so far.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen 6, or I guess 7 would be the last one, right?
Yeah. The came out last year, I think. Or was it this year? I think it was last year. Came out last year. Next of Kin. So did you watch these movies? These part 2 and 3 were released in 2010 and 2011. Did you watch them in the theater? Did you? Or
one of them, I'm pretty sure I did. I might have seen both of them in theaters, honestly. I think I saw... Yeah, maybe 2 and 3. I don't think I saw 4 and 5 in theaters. I think I rented those via the DVD. And for the kids listening at home, it's kind of like a CD. And if you're asking what a CD is, it's kind of like what you put into a PS4. And if you're wondering what a PS4 is, it's kind of like a smaller version of a PS5.
There you go. Yeah. I was going to say, like, the PS5 is still CDs, right? Or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and it's wild to think that the PS5 is 2 years old now.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. 2020. Yeah. It came out. Yeah.
And it's still like impossible to find one.
Oh, yeah. 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 That's because of whatever chip shortages. They can't make as many or something like that.
Should have thought of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw these two in theaters because I do remember specifically the third one, which I guess I shouldn't give my thoughts right away, but I remember enjoying it and thinking like, oh, fuck, yeah, that was like fun.
Yeah. Similarly, I've never seen any of these movies, so this is all brand new to me. So I saw the first, I remember watching and renting the first one. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode, but these other ones I've never seen. So I just assumed that they were different, like hauntings or something. I had no idea. Oh, yeah, there's like this going to be like this hardcore integral plot, you know, storylines and fucking continuing story.
You're going to watch some of them and be like, oh, okay, cool. We're finally like watching something else, and then nope, they start dragging it right back in.
Right, yeah.
They're like, psych, guess who's still around? Toby. No,
Toby. Freaking okay. What?
I got a few if you want to hear some of them.
Okay.
Or PA2 and PA3.
Sure, hit me with a couple. These are your five-word plot summaries, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So for Johnny's five-word plot summary for Paranormal Activity 2, I have coming in at number 2, ex-pool cleaner gets revenge. And coming in at number 1, I have Caucasian doesn't listen to Mexican.
There we go. Yeah, that was my biggest frustration about 2. Yeah. Typical white people, they're going to blame everybody else but what the actual problem is. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the wind. The wind blew the door shut because the back windows were open on the other end of the house. It's like, what? Dude, come on.
Come on, man.
Like, that's what, yeah, because when he said it initially, I was like, but the door swung the other way. It isn't, like, that's not how wind works.
That is funny. Yeah.
And then, should I do a PA 3?
Sure, hit me with 3.
Actually, they're all pretty good. But for Paranormal Activity 3, coming in at number 3. Family finds voyeurism is legacy.
I know, right? Jesus, dude.
And coming in at number 2, I have family finds truth, which is bad. Yeah, that's a good one. Because how did I spell these things? I don't know. All right. And coming in at number 1, this is an alt title to the Pixar version of this film. Toby. The real imaginary friend.
Imaginary friend, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I think I remember these movies are like released like a year apart from each other, right? They were like more or less released early on.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, I remember a lot of these movies just came out like one right after every, you can almost put money on it being released in October or something. There was a new Paranormal Activity movie or something. I think 2, I would say between 2 and 3, I think 2 would probably be my favorite one so far. I think I like 2 [S2] Okay. [S1] More than I did 3. And even the first one, I liked 2's direction more. And I think I like that it does more of like a fly on the wall mentality to it. So there's, yep, constant, as they set up their video cameras and try to capture the ghosts, for whatever reason they come up with there in the movie, they do a good job of showing you the same images over and over again repeatedly. And then they reveal that, for instance, like you had mentioned, the pool toy was being picked up every morning. He would go and throw the pool toy back in the pool, but you realize that the pool toy is being brought out by whatever this ghost is. We find out his name,
which I think that's actually, it's a pool cleaner though.
Pool cleaner. So, like, yeah.
Pool vacuumy thing.
Yeah. And there were like instances like that where I thought, I really like this fly in the wall, sort of, we're observing very like mundane, boring, everyday life kind of stuff on top of whatever was like the spooky stuff going on. I like that blend more. Yeah. I thought it was really good. Cause I felt like, 1 did a really good job of was very loose, but trying to push a certain narrative. So it would only use those scenes to push at some point to push the narrative of the haunting of the first one. And I thought 3 was the least effective because I feel like they're trying really hard to invent why they're being recorded. And they take a lot of liberties. And I think 3 so far was probably my least favorite of the 3 that I've seen because of that.
But still not bad, right? It was like, it was still fun.
No. I liked the setting. I didn't mind any of the acting. And I thought that it was probably, there's a more of a purpose now. It doesn't feel as, what is it? like very free or whatever. It seems like there's like a script, it's written, and we're following a certain beats and stuff like that. It's perfect. It's like perfectly written and planned out.
It's got my favorite scare too, by the way.
Oh,
in the first three.
Okay.
Which is funny, and it's a false jump scare, but it's they think they're hearing something, and his wife has the fucking mask on, the witch's mask on, and she's hiding in the clothes.
Oh yeah.
And when she jumps out, I'm like, yeah, I forgot about it. When it was coming up, I was like, oh my god, this is that part. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
She's like fucking with him. Yeah. Because I remember the first time I saw it in theaters, I got fucking scared shitless. I was like, oh my god, they're showing it.
Like, no. Yeah. Yeah, I just found 3 to be less effective for whatever reason. And it may be because 2 has a very fun... it has the baby in it. And the baby is a great... piece to use in a scary movie because Hunter because it's used as sort of a vulnerability, a weakness, and it's what this thing wants. And I thought that was so it created a lot of tension, earned tension throughout the piece and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I feel with 3 also with the story is that we kind of know where it's heading because we know that I don't know their name. It's like Katie and her sister.
Oh my god, which by the way, would Christy. You have called that Katie is the older sister? That didn't make any sense to me when I was watching the third one. I kept forgetting because Katie isn't the one that gets possessed first. It's Christy or whatever is like the focal point of the movie. And then Katie's the older sister that goes to soccer practice and all that. And I was like, Katie's the older sister?
Yeah.
She's like the one going to school still and all that shit. Like what? I don't know.
Yeah. I agree. I also like that Katie looks completely different in part 3, even though it's we see glimpses of Katie and she looks like tanned and taken care of and toned. It's the complete opposite of what she looked like in 2, which is kind of like happening simultaneously, I guess that's another thing is like these movies are happening like within the same time frame, more or less, with months apart. The first one.
1 and 2, right?
1 and 2, yeah.
So, yeah, it would be literally a month before the first movie, I think. Something
like that, yeah.
It was like they mentioned at some point it's 6 days before Micah's body is found at one point.
Okay, yeah. So there's... they're not necessarily, even though it's 2, it's not necessarily a sequel. It's almost like it's happening almost within the same time frame, right? And 3 is just old videotapes, which I thought somebody was looking at, but apparently they just like zoomed in on VHS tapes and that was the flashback mechanic to get us to the 80s, which is super weird.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. Yeah. I was like, just... You're going to have the watermark on the bottom anyway. It's going to say 1988.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think they're all kind of presented this way too, though. That like the first one, the second one, this one, it seems like somebody's like cut together something for you to watch. Like it's like 2000, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
At whatever PM. And we never have a narrator, but we kind of have that. So I guess it still works. It's just... Mm-hmm. Because I agree with you, because I didn't really notice that until I was like, oh, that's weird, right? Like, oh, I guess they have been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they do casually mention that the girls, this event happened in the 80s, right? There was like a fire or something, and they thought they were talking to a ghost or something, right? Like Toby. It ended up being Toby the ghost. So.
Which, did their memories get wiped? I understand that they wrote this after the fact.
Well, without going too much in spoilers, I think the way 3 ends, we can conclude that things happen to them to where they probably would forget. It's my understanding. Where they would have vague memories.
Sure.
That's my thought. That's the way I interpreted it. The ending in 3 kind of leaves it to where these girls would continue living whatever life they're living. And then, have a male child or whatever, male heir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just confused because it's never mentioned, but like, people do die in the third one. And that is 20 years before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are all just stepping stones to get to the fifth one, my favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's spoilers. We don't have to talk about that yet. Any other thoughts on two?
I'm trying to remember, like, the house is kind of funny because it was like, did they just go to like their other friends?
Yeah.
The director's friend's house next door.
Yeah. I think this one was, I think one thing that happened was it was so frustrating how, and you had mentioned it in one of your plot summaries that like the dad just did not want to believe that there was fucking ghosts. And I'm like, dude, are you fucking serious? Like, how you like, there's like, you know, fucking your daughter seeing shit and your baby, you know, there's a scene where the baby's being literally like pulled out of the crib or whatever, right?
The crib.
And yeah. Don't they have that recorded? Aren't they watching that? Like, I was confused about what they saw, what they didn't see, because...
Oh, no, that wasn't... I don't know if that was a ghost. I'm pretty sure that was the wind. Ah, the front door was open, and so were the back windows. Yeah. Which is why that crow flew into the window and died, right?
That was a cheap scare, yeah. Like, oh, it's a bird, they died. That means evil shit.
It's a dead bird. They definitely heard it, and they finally do this, like, the one smart thing they've done in these movies where they're like, we'll go see what it is tomorrow morning. Let's just stay put.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the dad's being a real dick about it. Like, he's never picked up a dead animal before. Just like, oh, I'm just going to pick it up with my fingers. And the daughter's like, what are you doing? Put on some gloves. He's like, what? It's all good. Oh, want to eat it? Let's cook it. It's like, dude.
Yeah. Annoying dad. I did also like that they had the Mexican character, obviously, right? They had a maid, and she was good. Is she going to tie into the Marked Ones? Is she in the Marked Ones?
I don't know. You got to watch it.
I'm ahead of it.
What happens.
I'm ahead of this series.
I mean, at this point, you should know that they all tie in no matter what movie it is.
Oh, yeah, so. You're right. Yeah. I didn't know that. But I like that she's just burning sage, and I thought it was super funny, the reaction. It's like, huh. Oh my God, what are you doing? Give me that baby. I'm like, it's just burning sage. Like, what are you talking about here? Yeah. Like, she's not doing anything like too out of the ordinary, right? She's just burning sage to off bad spirits or something, right?
Which I want to say, since she's Mexican, it's probably Palo Santo.
Uh-huh.
Which smells really good.
Yeah.
So what's the big problem?
Yeah. That typical white people reaction to it. I think they were the most frustrating, though. I like I said, I really like the direction of this. Oh. Of this.
Which is funny because this is like a clear sign of the times, because now you can't get white people to stop fucking burning sage and Palo Santo.
Exactly. Yeah.
I had a friend come over. I need to get, you know, I need to neutralize energy. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Maybe it's because we're just like in LA. That you see, people are more like that here.
Well, I have some friends that do that back in Texas also. And it's like, well, okay.
So, you know, it's funny. There's some guy that was burning sage at work during a peak. Uh-huh. He'd be like, what's that smell? And I'm like, well, he's burning sage in his car. Truck. So super funny. And then like a couple of guys just started doing it, so it was all saged up at the warehouse.
And folks at home, if you don't understand how this is actually kind of offensive to Native Americans and what they truly believe in, I don't know how to help you. They're gonna run out of this practice that's a part of their beliefs.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of white folks and like superstitious Mexicans, which is a part of our culture, we're very superstitious.
Right, yeah.
Are just taking all of the flowers away.
Yeah, I mean, aside from those things, like I think the performance I want to also mention was the daughter, Allie. I thought she was excellent too. She just
she was great.
I think she had a very almost. I feel like she's almost the character that has like the audience reaction to everything. Like I never felt like she's reacting to the things that are going on, and she has the almost the same thoughts that I was having in terms of like what to do next or what was going on. And I thought the actress did a really good job too. Molly Ephraim. She was really good. But it was, I didn't know Katie was back in this. Like I had a hard time following that in the beginning, and I was like, oh, there she is. She showed up. That's how they're connected. They're sisters. And then we find out there's even more connection later on. I was like,
yeah.
So I honestly, when I saw this, I was like, oh, it's just another family. This is going to suck. Cause
yeah. Hopefully this isn't a spoiler, but does Katie come out in the third one?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Right? It just ends.
Oh, you mean in terms of like, it just stayed in 88, but she's in the beginning.
Okay.
She's in the beginning because they bought the house and she's several months pregnant and Katie's there visiting her sister, and we see the basement, and then we see the tapes, and then we zoom in on the tapes, which takes us to the past. That's how the third one starts.
Okay. I don't know why I forgot that. Cause as soon as, Katie, Featherstone is off, I just check out. I'm like,
yeah. Your crush goes deep. But yeah, no, I really like this one. I thought the direction was really solid. For me, the third one is where I feel like it's starting to feel like a sequel. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
Like the things aren't working. The things they did previously that seemed, you know, new and inventive are becoming tired now. It's starting to feel that way with three for me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just, well, I don't want to ruin like four, but yeah, it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be the formula for these films.
Super fun premise though, that it's set in 88 and it follows Katie and Christie's first encounter, I guess, with this spirit demon.
And then also explaining why it's happening.
No, it 100% is. Yeah. Yeah. 1000% is. Yeah.
It's not like 100% laid out why they did this. I feel like most of the time there's like some sort of reward, but I feel like you're just gathering why they might have wanted to do this from the first movie or the second movie.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
I feel like.
But I think that they have a clear reason why this let's just call him Toby. Toby is going after these kids.
Yeah, that's solidified why they're, yeah. I can't talk about it, but they go further into, like, it starts to spread.
Right. I think that there are two big moments in this movie, in 2 and 3, that I feel like either there's certain characters do something in 2, and there's a certain character does something in 3 that kind of lays out whether you're on board with the movie or not, if that makes sense, or whether they're taking, it's a spoilery thing, so I'm kind of like talking around it a bit, but like there's two instances where I feel like either you're on board with this series or you're not on board, or this is where you drop off, in my opinion. And I think it's funny how two and three both have some almost similar scenes that kind of direct you where this franchise is going. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I can see people, these moments happening and people reacting like, oh, that's just like, that's ridiculous, or that's silly, or that's whatever, and then jump off. So I can see where, or you're like completely on board, or you're invested in the story and you're like, okay, cool, I want the next one and the next one.
If you're like Toby and you like, you fucking hate cooking, you hate kitchens, like you're going to love these movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you hate pools and you hate kitchens.
Yeah, that fucking, Toby ran out of ideas on how to haunt, huh? You just.
He's like, I'm gonna fuck up this kitchen. There is, I did enjoy the dad in the 88 version, which that actor looks a lot like the actor that plays Micah.
Yeah, he does, right?
Like the Micah actor, yeah.
Yeah.
And What's Your Face looks similar to Katie Featherstone a little bit, which I guess makes sense because they're like supposed to be their parents, but I mean, not Micah's parents though. Like that's what bugged me. I was like, holy shit. But how he's like, his ingenuity to tape, which I could only imagine is this huge fucking, because they weren't DV tapes. I mean, not DVD, DV tapes in 88. So like this huge fucking camera that he had to like wrap or tape to an oscillating fan in the living room to go back and forth. I forgot that the dad or Christie's husband hands off the camera to Micah at one point because they come and visit.
Oh yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and for, I just thought it was so fucking weird. Micah gets really weird about like, he's like carrying the camera and it almost looks like he's like creeping on the daughter.
Yeah.
There's like a weird down shot, like going into like her bikini in the pool. And I was like, I want to say like, it's just coincidence, but also, you know, they edited this movie together. So I'm assuming, I don't know, the worst, I suppose.
I think doesn't he make a comment like, whoa, this is awesome. I should get one of these.
Yeah. Which I don't know if that's supposed to be a reference to him doing that in the first movie, right? A little bit when he's got the pickupless guitar, which is a stupid invention. And he's like looking down Katie's like shirt and he's pretending that he's not or whatever. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, no, that was... That's again like there's some silly stuff in this, but I don't know. I actually yeah. quite enjoyed the sequel very much.
I just thought that was funny because I'm like, what's he doing? And then I thought about it and I was like, he's got to give the camera back, right? It's like, what a weird thing for like the dad to review footage for later. Like,
one thing I had mentioned previously is like how these actors look similar. I thought they were like dual. Playing two roles.
Oh, how you thought
the dad in 88 looked a lot like Micah.
Mia Gothing it?
Yeah, Mia Gothing it. My new favorite franchise. Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense because why would they try to make him look similar if he's like a new person to the family?
Yeah, so was that guy. That guy was like a new person in the family. And even the wife looked like one of the sisters.
Yeah.
So
I thought so too. Yeah. Which, I mean, hers makes more sense because she is the mother to Katie and Christy.
Right. Yeah.
But him looking like Micah doesn't make sense unless Micah is like fourth cousin or third cousin. They don't know. And that's why Katie's possessed. It's not she's possessed. It's just she's got the embedding genes going on and they're messing with their brain.
I thought for sure Katie was going to show up as the grandmother and then just like totally fuck our brains up. So, yeah. What's her name? The love of your life here.
Katie Featherstone?
Katie Featherstone. I thought for sure she's going to show up as the grandma and I'm like, yeah, they're just going hard on cameos here. Everyone's got to get paid. But yeah, again, like I didn't really think for a movie of this nature, I thought one of the things I didn't like about the first one was like some of the acting was a little rough. But I thought that it's actually improved quite a bit. I don't really have any like overall complaints against anybody in these two sequels.
Yeah. I mean, as far as acting, the second one, the acting was better. Right.
Right.
And then the third one, you can kind of tell they actually hired like actors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like these guys weren't actors, but I think something people don't understand is improvisation is its like own skill set. You don't got to learn that to be an actor. You can be an actor and do that, but improvising is like its own fucking thing.
Yeah,
there are famous people that are only good at improvising and can't actually act.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Fred Armisen. I'm just Fred kidding. Not calling name people out. In fact, I don't even know if that's true or not. But I'm just saying. His name's Will Ferrell. Yeah, none of his dramatic turns have been good. I don't know.
You know, to be fair, I feel like Everything Must Go was actually pretty good, but people hated it because they wanted it to be funny.
I thought it was okay. I mean, I didn't gleam anything like particularly special about his performance. I thought it was not perfect for what they wanted, but I feel like the guys that are heavily into comedic roles can kind of blend their comedic personalities with some of the heavier dramatic parts, like a Jim Carrey, who I think like kind of perfectly kind of blends those together.
Or like Steve Stiller. Martin, when he plays dramatic roles, he's like really fucking good.
Oh God, dude. Like, yeah, dude. Fucking he's phenomenal. So good. Mm-hmm.
Case in point is Pennies from Heaven. He's fucking phenomenal.
Well, yeah, he did also Spanish Prisoner, the David Mamet movie, and Shop Girl from his own.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The book novella. Wrote, yeah. Yeah. The book he wrote. I mean, what a talented guy. He can do both. Easily fall and slip into both. But Steve Martin was not in this movie.
But let's just keep talking about Steve Martin because he is talking also about Steve Martin. The bad guy in Little Shop of Horrors, and he's fucking awesome in that too.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
So if Steve Martin played Toby, this movie maybe would be so much better.
Is there anything you didn't like about Three?
Full disclosure, I'm not like in love with these movies, but I thought they were more fun. I would say I feel like I had more fun with the third one only because it's set in the 80s. Everything's very 80s.
Right.
It was fun for me to kind of look around and see how like hard the decorator worked to fucking find 80s inspired shit, even though some of it's a little off, like some of it's too new. But and it's also fun for me to still see like the budget was low because when they're like that kitchen scene happens and everything's like floating in the air. Right. Is that
this right?
One? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she walks in and she's like, what? And then like everything falls, including the table, and the table like snaps in half. Like table is clearly stunt table. It's like paper thin bending in a weird way.
Yeah. But I mean, you have the trained eye for that. I mean, you deal with you're a professional prop master.
Well, not yet.
Not I want to insult you, but professional
in set decoration, I guess, is my profession. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that stuff was fun for me to watch, and then also them just trying to attempt to act 80s.
I did read that a lot of these houses came as is. They didn't have to change a lot. They found houses that were like literally lost in the 80s. They hadn't touched or remodeled any of them, which I mean, it's pretty plausible, right?
As far as like the actual architecture. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. As far as the architecture. Yeah. They didn't have to like do massive changes or anything. They just found the house pretty much stuck in the 80s. Nothing changed.
Like, I don't think it's that difficult to try to find a house that has like even like wainscoting, which was so fucking popular in the 80s.
Mm.
And if people aren't familiar with that is, it's that wood paneling that like goes up to like where the chair railing is on a wall. So it's just like the bottom half of, sometimes they did the full wall, but like, just like, it looks like big pieces of wood paneling on the walls. And it's like, was everywhere in the fucking 80s. And it's funny. I saw a meme that talked about what people think the 80s looks like, and it's a Stranger Things meme. And then the 80s actually look like, and it's just a brown mug. Yeah, because everything was brown colored.
Yeah. So this was directed by the Catfish guys. They made the Catfish movie, eventually made the MTV series, and they made, I think they made 3 and 4. And with, in my opinion, less success. I thought the, in my opinion, three, the scares work less. I think that it did feel kind of like a, like, I did feel more of the acting and some of the script writing in this. And I felt like a lot of it was, a lot of the scares were very heavy on effects, heavy, like it was less natural or practical. So there, I felt like they were making a movie out of this more traditionally. And I feel like the movie kind of, in my opinion, it's a step back, because I thought the first, what was great about the first one was like how it was kind of improvised, very loose. And I thought the second one had a fun gimmick with the fly in the wall technique and stuff. And I thought this one was a little more conventional overall as a haunted house movie, you know?
So, and according to the ratings, this Paranormal Activity 3 still did pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of on par with 2, but a bit of a spoiler, 4, the rating drops kind of significantly.
Okay. Yeah, you mean like the overall, like 1 out of 10, or
yeah,
like the star rating or whatever they have there?
Star meter,
yeah.
For IMDb sponsors.
Yeah, please.
Give us some free IMDb swag.
Right.
I want to sport my IMDb hoodie in this wonderful weather.
Yeah.
That definitely didn't spike again.
Yeah, we're in fucking winter. I mean, it's not winter. Sorry, heat. We're in fucking summer still.
Yeah.
As autumn began last week.
We've, everybody's hit, like, but it's not nearly as bad as it was the other week. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. It's hot.
It's too hot.
Yeah.
I was, dusting off my sweaters, my jackets, long sleeve shirts. Yeah. Like, I was getting prepared for the impending autumn winter.
Yeah, I had my snow boots ready and everything.
So it's just disappointing. Another week of summer.
Yeah. That fucking groundhog, I guess, saw his. Did that happen already? Oh no, that's for winter. Never mind.
That's like February.
We don't have seasons here. I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. It's. Yeah.
Right. We're gonna spoil these things.
I think we should. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Okay, Toby's the ghost.
Toby the ghost.
Spoiled the whole
He's
thing.
He's from New York City. Yeah, yeah.
And now when you rewatch the first one, you're like, fucking Toby.
Toby.
What's he doing? No,
fucking
Toby.
So earlier I was mentioned that there's two things that like I thought like two instances of story beats that happen that like I think push you into whether or not I feel like you like the story, whether you'll continue the franchise, I mean, or you want to, or you jump off. And two, and I don't know if it was clear to you or not, that fucking picture shows up that they found in the first movie in the attic. And we realized that the dad... And it really wasn't clear until I had like read a couple of things that the dad, to stop his wife from being possessed, sent the ghost to Katie. Is that correct?
Yes, in the second one, yes.
Yeah, in the second one.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to assume, it's not clear, but do you think, for me, it's assumed that the maid helped him with this?
I want to say yes. I think that's what the thought is.
Right.
I'm not sure. Because then this kind of doesn't make sense for the fifth one. But then again, the fourth one's going to have a something that's probably going to confuse the shit out of you too. I don't mean to jump ahead. I'm just trying to make sense of the whole thing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what they did. I mean, they did find some like literature about what was going on too, right?
I believe so. I think they
via the internet, right?
Yeah. Wikipedia. Yeah. 90 pages of Wikipedia post. Seances.
Oh, no. Well, this is supposed to be 2011, right? Or not 2007. Neat.
Oh.
Right. So they downloaded the torrent of the book.
Free torrented. Yeah, no. So, yeah. So then to me, that's kind of like, but then it kind of bites them in the ass. Yes, Jeeves. Nobody knows what Jeeves. That is. Yeah.
Hey, Jeeves. Tell me about Toby. you need to get the fuck out of here.
I guess that was kind of weird in that ended up biting the dad in the ass because the sister gets possessed or whatever, and then she ends up coming and snapping his neck and stealing their baby. Baby Hunter.
Katie just basically kills everybody and then, yeah.
So what was the point of that?
The only person that stays alive is the daughter.
The daughter's alive, yeah.
Which, I'm going to spoil this, does not exist, I think, for the rest of the franchise.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was strange.
Okay, yeah, I thought she was really good.
Yeah, I did too.
But yeah, she was really good in this movie. Yeah.
What's her name? Is it Allie?
Molly Ephraim? Ephraim?
Something oh, like yes.
Yeah, she put Allie, right? Or whatever.
From Halt and Catch Fire. Yeah.
There you go. Yep. I couldn't gauge her age. She's a lot older than she looks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, she's like a few months older than me.
Yeah.
But she looks fucking young in the movie.
Yeah, like I thought she was like a teenager, but the more I was like looking at her, I was like, she's a little older than she's supposed to.
Yeah.
Not a knock, just something I noticed.
She was also in another one of our favorite shows that's actually not horror related, but she's in Perry Mason.
Oh, no shit. Oh, I love that show. That was excellent. Rad. Yeah. That was really good. But yeah, to me, that was one instance of a moment turn in the story where like, there's like, well, I think if people saw that, they would be like, man, this is getting good or this is getting really convoluted or.
Yeah.
This is getting too much. Not to be outdone with, to me, was like the. Probably the biggest turnoff so far for me in this series is that this fucking this is all about witches, right?
Yeah, so, no, yeah. Or there's a coven that's the thing. I don't know. They kind of vaguely mentioned in the first one that, you know, maybe somebody conjured this thing so they would have eternal wealth, and then they kept mentioning that all the like somebody's great grandma had a chain that had a symbol on it or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, I guess. Sure.
Well, in the, was it this one that they flat out mentioned that there's like a coven of witches and they make
the
a deal.
The third one, yeah.
Yeah, they make a deal with the fucking a demon to have a male heir. So the demon gets the male heir and they get something out of it, I assume, right? Is that what's?
Yeah, they have the uncanny ability to be frail older people that can intimidate the shit out of a gentleman that's in his prime and he has to run away from them instead of just plowing through them.
Yeah. There were a lot of instances also where I felt like, why are they, this is the first time this has also happened to me in this franchise where like, why are they still holding the camera? It happened when he's running through the house towards the end. And it happened when that friend is also recording and, the friend that was helping him?
Yeah, the dude that looked like he was like 10 years younger than him.
Right, yeah. He was, I guess they do...
The only smart Bloody guy Mary? In the movie too, by the way. Yeah.
That Bloody Mary shit happens to him and then he like, okay, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Fuck this.
Yeah, straight up, doesn't even say anything, right? He's just like goes and he starts collecting his shit and he's like, it's like, what are you doing, man? He's like, oh, I'm out. I'm out. I'm good. I'm out. Nope, gotta go. I'm out.
Yeah. Totally relatable.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, the second one, it gets a little bit better than the first one for me. The third one, I just had fun watching it. I'm not gonna say it's better.
I mean, this whole idea of the grandmother being the one who's this witch who made the pact for her nieces to have like a male child. That's a little too, you need to kind of explain that, you know, yeah, you gotta like,
especially cause like, it's not really a thought on the first one at all.
Yeah.
You know, they talk so much about it kind of casually in the second one. It's like, why wasn't it talked casually about in the first one? If it seemed to be like some sort of idea.
And to kind of like, not to get too much ahead, it doesn't seem like something they're going to revisit. Potentially.
Well,
from why, in terms of like her motive, what's her motive? Like, right. Like for going forward, we're only going to be like, I see a little smile on your face. So I don't know. We're not going to be going back. So I'm assuming that we're going like sequel forward.
Well, you'll see.
It's going to be fun. Oh, I'm intrigued. Yeah, that was one instance where I was like, I don't believe that, like, this whole witch coven thing kind of seemed tacked on to me
a little bit. Yeah,
and as a kind of like explainer as to what's going on, and you know, creating more mythology and stuff like that. In my opinion, conventional mythology, because I kind of feel what's so effective about the first movie is how grounded it is and how it seems like anytime you're leaving anywhere and there's like shit, unexplained shit happens, like you become kind of scared and your first thing you think of is like, oh, it's ghost or wherever, right? Like that's kind of like a easy thing to kind of... that we all kind of experience, you know, like that's like a fun premise for us.
And now that you mention it, they played a little fast and loose about one of the rules. I just realized.
Okay.
In the first one, they made it pretty clear that Katie felt so much better when she was nowhere near the house. And then she would come back and feel bad. And then there is that part where she's like, "Well, no, we shouldn't leave. We should just stay here." And then she has that smirk on her face. It's like, oh, now she's like, it almost felt like the house was possessed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I agree.
But in this one, like the third one, it's clear that it has nothing to do with the house. It's Toby is following people.
Yeah, Toby's possessed her at that point, right? And possessed the mom. Has possessed pretty much like... There's always that scene where like the mother character always gets like possessed or something, right? So...
Which they're going to play kind of fast and loose with that too. So be prepared.
Well, I mean, I guess at this point, I feel like they've done a good job of explaining, I guess, the backstory, quote unquote, right? Of Katie and Christy, why things are happening to them. So I guess that's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, and now you just got to watch one more movie, and then you get the fifth one.
I don't. Why do you like that? I'm so curious as to why you like that one.
I mean, you're probably gonna see it and understand why immediately. Like, of course, John fucking likes this movie. That's fine.
Okay.
Because it's the Latino one.
Yeah.
All our fan favorites are back.
Oh, okay.
Naomi Gonzalez is in it. Fuck yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, what else can we say about these two movies? Other than, for some reason, the Katie and Christy do not remember their father dying because he gets, like, snapped in half backwards by Christy.
Right. I feel like I got to go back and rewatch that because I was a little confused about, because I think they do mention their parents, but, like, something happened to them when they were young. And then in the first one, and then they show the photo.
You know what? Katie does mention stuff like, all I remember is you being super mad and we were just scared. Why do you want to think about that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That did happen. Yeah.
The thing is, like, did Katie get possessed at the end of that too?
Katie was attacked. I think. Yes. End, yes, she right? was possessed. Yeah.
All three of them had to have walked away. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So Toby is many. I don't know.
Toby possesses Katie twice. He's been in her twice.
And Christy twice, I guess. Yeah. Or just
no, he never went into Christy.
A long time. Yeah, yeah.
No, he never possessed Christy. Christy ends up having the baby, right?
Well, like Christy's the one that's possessed at the end of three, like the main possessed kid at the end of three.
I think that's Katie.
Because Katie's the bigger one. Katie's the older one.
Yeah.
And Katie comes back later, but he runs to grab Christy, and then when he gets like thrown back and snapped in half.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I think I got it backwards. I saw.
I think that's why Christy's the one that gives birth and is like the one being possessed again in the six-day prequel, the second one. And then they pass it on to Katie, who, again, I was not realizing was the older sister for some reason. Not that it matters, I guess, but it just, I don't know why that confused me.
Yeah, which is super weird, and too, right? Like, how does that even work? You just pass on a fucking curse to the other sister. How does that, I mean?
Well, as far as we know about possessions and like these creatures, mm-hmm. from like one of our recent reviews, I suppose they had to have slept together with unprotected.
Oh.
And then it passes on this thing that follows you, right?
Oh.
And then eventually just crumples you up like it did to their dad. I don't know.
Interesting. So you're saying It Follows is ripping off Paranormal Activity?
I'm saying It Follows is the
sequel.
The story of Toby, the lone wanderer.
The lone horny wanderer. Yeah.
They do mention that in the second one, right? They mentioned somebody, probably Micah, mentions that it's like a sexy, it's like a sex ghost, or somebody mentioned it's like
I think it was the first one. Like, it's a sex ghost. I think Yeah. That was pretty funny. Oh, because he wants her. Okay. Or some shit.
So far, the only person that's surviving this series, aside from the grandmother who's non-existent outside of the third one.
I'm assuming she's dead, right?
I would imagine. Well.
So
yeah, I'd imagine so. That makes sense.
She wasn't in one or two. Yeah. So I'm assuming she's dead.
It's just Katie and Hunter are the only ones still alive.
Yeah. Katie and Hunter are still alive. I wonder if they're going to bring back Micah, like in a different role, but the same actor. Keep recycling these actors.
Just like a confessional videotape telling you, like, this is how you survive this horror movie.
It's like fucking American Horror Story or something. It's recycled the actors in different roles.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. Last thoughts on 2 and 3?
Nope. Just got rearing up for 4, and we have one of our 4 has Catherine Newton in it. She's one of the main actresses, isn't it? And she's in one of her fan favorites, which I'm blanking on right now, with Vince Vaughn and her switch personalities or like bodies.
Oh,
I
mean, freaky.
Freaky, freaky.
Yeah.
Freaky. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? It's the same. It's the same writer. Christopher Landon. Oh. He's the writer of Freaky.
There you go. All
right. He probably cast her after this movie, I'm assuming. I'm assuming this is before Freaky. Actually, no, I'm pretty sure it was after Freaky. So that's cool.
What, this movie?
No, 4.
Oh, what?
Four? Yeah, 4 was before Freaky. And it's the same writer.
Yeah, I mean, what, Freaky came out 2020?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. It did. It came out 2020.
Yeah. Oh. Paranormal Activity came out 2012.
Ah, interesting.
So just 6 days before.
Alrighty.
According to the Paranormal Activity timelines.
Did it 4 days later? Oh, 5 years later, right?
5 years later. Yeah.
I thought you were saying like Paranormal Activity 4 takes place 4 days later.
I'm saying Freaky came out in 2020 and Paranormal Activity came out in 4 came out in 2012. Okay, which according to Paranormal Activity Time is 6 days before. So they're only 6 days apart.
I'm bad at math. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Let's John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Cause we're about to go into
spoilers. Collectively, I'll give Paranormal Activity 2 and 3 5.4 sexy spooky bones.
Okay. Collectively.
How many Tobies are you going to give it?
I don't remember what I gave the first one. What did I give the first? Do you know how many? I should probably write that down. How many six spooky bones we give these movies?
I think you said like 12 out of 10 or something.
13 ghost out of dead there. Super sexy.
1988 sexy spooky bones.
I'll do individual score because I see these as two different movies. Plus I like two and I want to acknowledge that more than three. I'll do 7 spooky bones on 2, and I'll do 5 spooky bones on 3.
All right. Okay.
A collective 75. Yeah. I'm on board. I'm not going to lie. I'm on board with this franchise. I'm okay with everything right now. Now, I know eventually it's going to fall off a cliff like Halloween. So I'm just waiting for that moment, right? But,
yeah.
I mean, well,
Paranormal Activities 4 is going to be a fun little blast from the past where you don't realize how old things are, because prominently in the movie we get the Xbox Kinect, so look forward to some updates to the series.
Nice. I remember that. That was awful. That was an awful time.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah.
Gaming time. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay Toby.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to